This is Digital Story Podcast number 572, February 21st, 2017. Today's theme is One Frame for Nature with Alexandra Garcia. I'm Derek Story. After the WildSpeak conference last November in Washington, D.C., I had quite a few inquiries about the best ways to get involved with conservation photography. I guess I wasn't the only one. So the folks at ILCP came up with One Frame for Nature. And it's a perfect way to have your images published right alongside pro conservation photographers. And that's the lead story in today's TDS podcast. I met Alex Garcia last summer during her visit to Northern California, and we did an interview, which I ran on this podcast. I'll put a link in the show notes just in case you didn't hear it. And talking with her and doing the interview, I really got excited to learn just how accessible conservation photography can be. And ILCP has a lot to do with this. And of course, that's their mission, is to educate and inspire and to help us use the skills that we have to take care of the planet. So as a result of what I learned with my conversation with Alex, I traveled to Washington, D.C. in the fall to cover the WildSpeak conference and got even more energized about the whole thing. And I think some of that energy transferred to some of you. And I got a number of inquiries about, well, what can I do? What can I do to use my skills as part of this effort? And I didn't have a terrific answer at that moment. And, you know, I could point people to the ILCP website and I suggest projects and so forth, but I didn't have like a link that I could say, go here, put a picture there and get it going. And now I do. And that now I do is the One Frame for Nature. So I thought, okay, this is pretty cool. I really like this project. It is designed specifically for people who want to get involved and want to have their images be there right alongside pro conservation photographers and get a little momentum in their own conservation photography movement. Alex and I were talking and we're saying, you know what, we need to do another show. And that's exactly what this is. So I have an interview with Alex, I'm going to run right now, and we'll talk a little bit about this project, One Frame for Nature. And then I'll come back and we'll cover in the news and a few other cool stories that I have going this week. So this is going to be a fun show. Get comfortable and let's see what Alex has to say. So I'm happy to have Alex Garcia back on the show again, and she's the executive director for the International League of Conservation Photographers. Alex, good day to you.
Thank you. Same to you. It's a pleasure to be back.
Just refresh us for those that may have missed your wonderful earlier interview that we did a few months back. Just refresh us on, you know, what you're up to and what your goals in your business life are here.
Sure. I'm happy to do so. So as you mentioned, I'm the executive director of the International League of Conservation Photographers, and we are an organization that includes about 100 of the, a little bit more of the top wildlife and nature photographers in the world, all professionals who are also very much dedicated to promoting conservation of the natural world through their work. And as an organization, we partner with conservation organizations to try to make it easier for them to access high-quality visual media to promote their conservation efforts. And we do this in a number of different ways, through expeditions, through image licensing, and also trying to connect the general public with their work, which, you know, we do through WildSpeak, which is our symposium in November, in which some of your audience members who heard the podcast last fall, because they heard it, attended, which was really exciting for us. So we kind of touch base on a lot of different things, but it's all about conservation and it's all about photography.
And speaking of WildSpeak, which I also went to and covered a little bit, I have to tell you, as a front-facing event for the organization, it is tremendous. It is absolutely tremendous. And anyone that has an opening in November when WildSpeak comes around, I highly encourage going and learning about what's going on with our planet. And that's exactly what happens there.
Yeah, it's a great event, and we have tremendous presenters, and it's nice because everyone gets to actually meet the presenters, and we do that very purposefully to try to keep it really a networking event and one where people can actually really talk to each other. So we're really thrilled with your feedback and the feedback from others, and we look forward to a really exciting event again this year.
And we'll be talking about that as we get closer. But right now, we have something new to talk about. I think it's new, at least it's new to me, which is One Frame for Nature. One Frame for Nature. Tell us a little bit about this project.
Well, you know, interestingly enough, this came right out of WildSpeak this year. So after WildSpeak, our fellows held a meeting on the day after. And we're really brainstorming about sort of where to take the organization, what we wanted to do. And one of the ideas that came out of it was to try to conceive a project that would really be able to take some kind of global front-facing action that we could involve our audience and our public in directly, rather than just being about the work of the fellows, but really trying to use the fellows as inspiration to get other people to become involved in using photography for conservation. So after a lot of deliberation, it finally came out to One Frame for Nature, which is one as a number, frame for the number nature. And the idea is we are all connected through nature, through the air we breathe, the food we eat, the water we drink, and it doesn't matter where you are in the world, we are eventually all tied through these sort of core values and appreciation for nature. So the goal of the project is every week to share one story by one of our fellows, and we launched in January. I think we're up to 4 stories now. And to use that as just a launching platform to get audiences all around the world to share 1, 2, or 3 images through a variety of platforms that we can talk about specifically about their connection to nature, and hopefully share with the community something that they've done in favor of nature.
Yeah, and this is really neat. So I went through the process before our interview here and submitted a photo. I went through the web interface, the web link, and it's very easy, first of all. That's one of the things that I like about it. It wasn't hard to go from picture on my computer to picture that shows up on the map. You got this wonderful map so you can see where all the different shots are.
Yeah.
And then you can also see, and it feels a little bit like Flickr does with the map, where you can see what's going on in the different areas there. And it's starting to take shape, isn't it? Starting to fill out a little bit.
It is. It's really exciting. So this map platform is hosted by Esri, which is a pioneer in the ArcGIS world. And that's, for those who don't know, it's a pretty powerful mapping and analytics software platform. And Esri helped us conceive and figure out how to do this. So the idea on the website side, and you can either access it through our domain name, conservationphotographers.org, or directly at oneframefornature.org, which will take you really to the ILCP website, but specifically to the One Frame for Nature page on our website, and submit a photo of some feature of nature, whether it's animal, land, marine, anything people like, urban, wild, whatever. Nature is in many different shapes, comes in many shapes and forms, and we hope to celebrate all of those. They get tagged, geolocated, and we ask some questions about the image. What inspired you about this image? What action might you take or have you taken on behalf of nature that was inspired by this image? Share your name if you'd like to be included potentially in future One Frame for Nature exhibits. But once that gets loaded up, then all of a sudden this magic kind of happens where your picture gets geotagged to a location on the map. And as we get more and more images and they kind of get crowdsourced together, we get these bubbles of numbers and you can drill down. And it's so powerful that we could actually drill down to a city corner block, for example. So let's say you had a community group that was doing a park cleanup. If everybody in the group posted a picture of that activity, you could actually then get, you know, 20 people's perspective on one park and one activity, Or as you zoom out, you get bigger and bigger circles of numbers, you know, cities, areas, regions, and we're hoping that people will really be inspired at both the global and the community level to share something about what is special to them in nature.
Exactly. And it's fun, first of all, just to kind of go through the process, you know, submit your photo. It's very easy to do the geotagging part. It reminds me a lot of photos from macOS, which I use, where all you have to do is to enter the name best you can recall. Then you get a pop-up menu, and they're showing locations there, and you just pick the one that is either spot on to where you were when you took the photo or very close to it. You click that, and then the map takes care of everything else for you at that point. It's really easy.
Yeah, and I think it's just really cool. I mean, I think as a technology, it's pretty awesome to be able to drill down and kind of see, you know, more and more in specific areas where images are from. And they're, you know, they narrow down on the site as well. So as you narrow down, you see the stories that are associated with each one of those areas.
Exactly, exactly. And so then that's fun, because then, you know, once you do that, then you start clicking around on this map and looking. Not only can you see your shot, like in my case, I took it in the Monterey area. So there are, in that whole Bay Area there's other shots. So then you can see what other people are doing. And next thing you know, you're hooked and you're clicking on other areas and off to the races you go. It's a good way to really spend your coffee break or a lunch break, I tell you.
Well, that's certainly what we hope people will do. And, you know, we're really, again, hoping to sort of build a sense of community around global issues, but you come down to the local level and find things that you care about.
Mm-hmm. Now, are there other ways to submit other than what I did on the website itself?
Yes, absolutely. So, you know, the other major platform that we're using is Instagram. So there's a One Frame for Nature Instagram account and the One Frame for Nature hashtag, which, you know, can be used on Twitter, on Instagram. And that's a pretty lively community, too. We're hopefully going to get to the point where we can connect the map to the Instagram account. We haven't quite figured out how to do that yet, but I'm hopeful that that will happen. But certainly, you know, so we hope that perhaps people will go to both areas, both platforms, and submit either the same picture or complimentary pictures. But the Instagram platform is pretty active, and there's a lot of sort of feedback and communication back and forth between people. And that's a growing community, and it's where, you know, we're really kind of hoping to sort of launch. And then if we don't see people going to the website as well, we'll probably tag a few people and say, hey, it would be great if you shared this image and this story on the map platform as well. And of course, you know, what's really nice about the Instagram platform is that you can easily tag 1, 2, or 3 friends and say, hey, look what I just did. Why don't you share? I'm sure your audience, many of your audience members also have friends who are photographers or who have cameras and love to take pictures of nature. So it's a way to inspire your friends or your coworkers or your peers to also join the One Frame for Nature community and share their stories of nature and their connection to nature.
It's funny that you bring that up. Most of the people that listen to this podcast that are in this audience, they're the go-to guy or the go-to gal in their community, right? So they're usually the influencer. So, you know, if we get folks listening to this podcast submitting, then yes, the ripple effect could be quite nice. And the other advantage to the Instagram approach is that then you have these images showing up in your feed too, once you, mm-hmm. you know, once you follow. So, you know, that's nice. You know, nothing like having really pretty pictures show up in your Instagram feed instead of someone's lunch or someone's picture of themselves with their boyfriend.
Well, and I think, you know, what's kind of exciting, I think, for photographers, and, you know, one of the questions that we get a lot, and you probably heard this at WildSpeak, from people who are not professional photographers, but who are really interested in this and just amateurs. As you know, at WildSpeak, we had a lot of youth there who aren't ready to be fellows. But the question we get a lot is, how can I participate in ILCP? How can I sort of contribute to your mission? And for us, this is one of our goals was to create a platform through which we hope the general public, whether they are super advanced amateur photographers, whether they're just shooting with an iPhone, it's a this is really open to everybody to share their work, but also see their work displayed next to the work of professional photographers who may be their idols. I'm looking at the One Frame for Nature Instagram feed right now, and you have some of our fellows, and their images are next to people that may or may not be professional photographers. I don't know all of their names. And so we hope that it's going to be exciting for photographers to kind of see their work right alongside those of the masters.
That's a fantastic point. That's a great point. I mean, what a wonderful way to get involved. And actually, I've had that question put to me many times, and now I have a wonderful answer. Hey, let's talk a little bit about, all right, so if you submit a photo, I did it on the website, as I mentioned, and there was a little blurb there that just basically said that what we're doing is we're granting ILCP the ability to share this photo as part of this project. Did I read that right?
Yes. I mean, we're not going to do anything with the images other than let them live on the platform, which obviously everyone is opting into. So, and that's particularly true on Instagram. On the website, we do have a field that says, if you would like your images to be considered for future potential One Frame for Nature exhibits, please give us your email so we can contact you. So for us, that's a way to sort of offer people the opportunity to opt in to later consideration. So I think for us, that's really going to come in useful. And again, we're very early in this stage, so we're still kind of figuring some of these things out. But we are partnering with conservation groups. This week, for example, we are partnering with the Alaska Wilderness League, starting with a story by Amy Gulick on salmon in the trees, which she also presented at Wildspeak. So you're probably a little familiar with that idea.
I was an Amy fan way before Wildspeak. I was thrilled that she was there. One of my favorites.
So, you know, we're hoping to sort of do some direction with Alaska Wilderness League. So as their audience members hopefully start participating in this project, you know, we may be able to say, okay, there's a real concentration of images from this area, and wouldn't it be cool if one day Alaska Wilderness League wants to do an exhibit in that community and maybe be able to say, all right, now we can contact these people and say, we'd love to do something in partnership with ILCP and, you know, local photographers or people who have contributed, who have photographed this area for this topic. So we don't really know what those are going to look like, but if people eventually would like to be considered for one of these projects, then providing us with your email is a way for us to contact you and say, you know, we loved your picture, or our partner loved your picture, and we're doing something. Could we potentially use your image for this effort?
Is there anything I haven't asked you about this project that I should have?
One of the things that particularly we focus on the website, but we hope that on Instagram people will also do, is share with us something that they've done. So maybe it's to make your backyard more wildlife friendly. Maybe you've stopped using plastic straws. Maybe you wrote to your local legislator to support environmentally friendly regulations, or you signed some kind of online petition. You organized a local stream cleanup, you made a presentation to a group of neighbors or classmates on protecting nature. You know, whatever it is, we're really hoping that people will share something that they've consciously decided to do in favor of nature and hopefully inspire others. And we discussed, well, do we provide a drop-down list of options that people would click? But we feel that people are going to have far more ideas than we ever could have come up with. And, you know, people are really creative, and there's so many different actions. There's no limit on age or skill set. We can all do something. So we really hope people will share that with us, and we can eventually sort of put these numbers together and say, hey, look, these are all the actions people took in 1 week in favor of nature.
Once again, if they want to participate on Instagram, the Instagram account is
One Frame for Nature. It is both the Instagram account and there's a hashtag for it, and it's #1Frame4Nature, all one word.
And then the website, you can get to it through conservationphotographers.org, right?
There's a link. Yep, there's a link right on the homepage, or through oneframefornature.org, which takes you directly to that page. So whichever URL you use to access One Frame for Nature at the top of the page, because you're actually on the ILCP site. There's a link to our blog. And if you've missed the stories in previous weeks from our fellow photographers sharing their story about a connection to nature, you'll find them all there. So right now we have a story from Wendy Shatil, from Art Wolf. Amy's will be going up this week, and every week we'll be adding another story by our fellows sharing their images and some moment that really inspired them and something that they've done and a call to action. So it's great reading. There's some really fascinating stuff. So visit our blog page on the website.
Thank you for creating this.
Our pleasure. It's what we try to do day in and day out. So hopefully this will be a success, and we can include lots of people in the ILCP community.
Alex, until we talk again, which will probably be before WildSpeak, thanks so much for making me aware of this, and we'll get this up on the air.
Awesome. Thank you, Derek. Have a great day. And thanks to all your listeners.
As always, such a pleasure to talk with Alex, and I always learn so much. So I hope you're excited about One Frame for Nature. And if you didn't memorize what we're talking about how to get to it and everything, just know that I have a link that'll take you right to it in the show notes. So all you got to do is go to thedigitalstory.com. Of course, you hang out there all the time, right? Go to the show notes for this podcast, and you'll have a link right there that'll take you right to the page, and also the Instagram too, right? So make sure that you get involved with this if conservation photography is of interest to you. And this is the perfect way. I just think they did a great job with this. I'm very excited. And I can't wait to see what happens from here. In the news, Canon debuts the EOS M6 mirrorless with optional EVF. And this is via DP Review. So right after I published the podcast last week, Canon debuts another mirrorless camera, and I'm just going to read you what DP Review says about it in their announcement. Canon's newest mirrorless camera, the EOS M6, is a replacement for the entry-level EOS M3 and slides in directly under the enthusiast M5. Confused, right? It shares essentially all of the M5's internal components, including the 24-megapixel APS-C sensor with dual-pixel CMOS autofocus, Digic 7 processor, and 3-inch touchscreen. It's also capable of 1080 60p video capture and has Wi-Fi, NFC, and Bluetooth. Differentiating factors between the two are limited to the built-in EVF on the M5 and the flip-up selfie screen on the M6. The M6 gains an additional top plate control dial compared to the M3, which should improve handling. Canon also announced an optional EVF, the EVF-DC2, to use with the M6. This 2.36 million dot EVF is smaller and lighter than the EVF DC1 used by the M3. Alphabet soup, isn't it? But do note that it does not tilt upward. All right, so let's get to the really important stuff. The Canon EOS M6 will go on sale April 2017 in both black and silver. It will sell for $780 body only, with the EFM 15-45mm f3.5-6.3 ISSTM for $900, or with the EFM 18-150 f3.5-6.3 ISSTM for $1,280. The EVF-DC2 is priced at $250 and also comes in black and silver. So that's the new electronic viewfinder. So yes, we have another mirrorless camera from Canon. This is the more affordable one, coming in at $780. And if you don't need the electronic viewfinder, the EVF, then you can save yourself some money Otherwise, you know, it's very similar to its bigger brother. And I think by consensus, at least among, you know, photography writers, that this latest generation of mirrorless cameras from Canon are the first ones to really hit the mark. And it comes down to this, that if you have been thinking about mirrorless, and if you like the Canon brand, if you shoot Canon already especially, and if you haven't tied yourself into one of the other players in the mirrorless space, then I do think that this is worth a look. Now, if you're already way down the mirrorless road, as some of us are, it's interesting news. We're happy that Canon seems to be making progress in the mirrorless space, but it doesn't really affect our life as mirrorless photographers, because we're already shooting Olympus, Panasonic, Fuji, Sony, all those, which is funny. You know, this is very interesting to me because this is sort of the reverse of what Canon and Nikon has done in the DSLR space, right? In the DSLR space, they dominated, they got there early. We bought big lens catalogs, and then it made it hard for us to switch to other brands. And now it's been turned around in the mirrorless game on them. So we'll see how it shakes out, but I'm happy that they have a mirrorless camera that people are giving good reviews to, and we'll see what happens. Speaking of Canon, this is a related story in some ways. I ran a post on Nimble Photographer yesterday, Monday, that's been getting a fair amount of interest and conversation, and it was titled, Canon, It's Been a Good Run. And this post is about my selling of my Canon 5D Mark II, a camera that you have heard me speak of frequently, a camera that I've had since early 2009. And it was a camera that I was using mainly for my commercial work. You know that I'm using the Olympus Micro Four Thirds for my travel and event photography, but still for certain client work, I was using the 5D Mark II. And it had just come to the point, it was time to sell it. It was just too different in terms of technology compared to my Micro Four Thirds stuff. It was too hard to go back and forth. No tilting screen, no Wi-Fi. You know, the controls seemed, you know, like they were from 2009. Things like that. And so I tell this story in the Nimble Photographer Journal post. And essentially what my thinking had been is that I realized that I had to replace the 5D Mark II. I really got my money's worth out of it, right? And so then I was watching to see what Canon was offering here over the last few months. And then seeing, well, okay, is there a model that I would like and could use my existing lens catalog and so forth. And the bottom line is that there wasn't. There wasn't anything that excited me. When I bought the 5D Mark II, I was excited. You know that feeling where you're really just like, ah, can't wait to get this camera. Can't wait to start shooting with it. This is amazing. And there isn't anything in the Canon lens mount that is doing that same thing for me. So I decided, okay, I'm going to switch brands for my DSLR work. And I do like shooting with DSLRs. Mirrorless, you know, I have a passion for mirrorless photography. But there are times in certain assignments where I do like to have an optical viewfinder. I do photography for a living, and it's nice to have both tools, both mirrorless and optical viewfinder. So when Pentax announced the KP, which is their 24.3 megapixel camera, right away I felt that magic again. It has sensor-based image stabilization, something that I grew to love with Olympus cameras, and now just feels really weird not to have sensor-based image stabilization. It has very good low-light performance, and they have these lenses, the HD limited edition lenses, that I have wanted to use forever. And what happens is that I could you know, use the KP body, which is much smaller than anything on the Canon side, unless I went mirrorless, which I don't want to go mirrorless because I'm happy in my mirrorless world. My Olympus kit is more than making me happy. So I would save space with the body and the other limited edition lenses, which are also much, much smaller, about the size of the lenses for my mirrorless kit. I could have my DSLR experience, I could have more megapixels, and I could have the sort of technology I've come to love with sensor-based stabilization. So I made the move. I've already sold the 5D Mark II. I've already sold the 24-105 L lens. I have the 70-200 f/2.8 image stabilized telephoto still on Amazon. So it's available. And little things like the 1.4 teleextender and a flash. But basically, this will wrap it up for me for Canon. And I wrote a post about it. If you're interested in reading it, it's on the Nimble Photographer. I'll put a link in the show notes. And it's been a good run. I've been shooting Canon since I started with wedding photography back about 1995. Have enjoyed using their cameras and have made a lot of great images. But you know, things change, and I am now very excited about shooting with the new Pentax, and I'll let you know how it goes. All right, just a few notes here. For those of you on the reserve list, I wanna let you know that reservation forms went out for the Northern California Coast Tour workshop. We already have signups. Signups are happening now. If you didn't get your reservation form for this very cool workshop that's going to be happening in May 18 through 20, just drop me a note, Derek@thedigitalstory.com, and I'll make sure that you get one. If you want to participate in this workshop and, you know, sign up before it goes public, right now we're only dealing with reserve list, then go to the workshops page on the Digital Story. You'll see a link to it right at the top. Use the send me info form. There's only like 3 fields. Get on the reserve list, and then I'll send you out invite right away. Alrighty. This workshop is coming together nicely. So we have like a couple open seats, like 1 or 2 for San Francisco and for Chicago to New Orleans and for this workshop. They're all kind of moving along about the same speed. So we're really kind of getting down to not a lot of space left on any of them. If you're interested in attending any of these, make sure that you either use the send me info form or you write me directly so that you can get a link to the registration, and I'll fix you up right away. A big thanks to all of our Patreon members of our inner circle, for helping us just keeping this podcast move forward and for helping to keep the commercials down. Isn't it nice? Don't you like not having a lot of commercials? Yes. Well, you can thank our Patreon members for helping to make that happen. Alrighty. So if you want to learn more about being a supporter and part of the inner circle, just click on the Patreon tile that's on all the pages of the Digital Story. I also want to note that on iTunes, we haven't really had any new reviews lately on the Digital Story. By the way, if you search on iTunes, the podcast app, for digital photography, just enter digital photography in the search field, enter, you'll see that the Digital Story is always like 1 or 2 in those search results. And that's because you guys are downloading this thing and you guys are keeping this fresh and alive. So what I want to do is make sure that people that come to the podcast through word of mouth or other ways see plenty of fresh reviews, so that when they're thinking about whether to subscribe or not, they have some current information available to them. So if you haven't posted a review for this podcast in the past and you're interested in doing so, it only has to be a few sentences. If you would just go to this podcast on the iOS podcast app, which is probably where a lot of you listen to it, and post a short review and give it a rating, I would really appreciate that. I like keeping those reviews fresh so that people go, hey, yeah, this thing is happening. This thing is current. This thing is alive. And finally, a big thanks to Red River Paper for supporting this podcast and for supporting our other endeavors, including helping to fund the ebook that I'm working on creative printing techniques. Red River Paper has a tile on all the pages of the digital story, and clicking on that tile will take you to our landing page on their site, where there's a special offer waiting for you. And of course, they have an excellent Facebook page at facebook.com/redriverpaper. Alrighty, that's going to do it for me this week. I hope you enjoyed our chat with Alex. She is terrific. ILCP is terrific, and conservation photography is fascinating. So if you're inspired, participate. Participate. Go to One Frame for Nature, submit a photo, and get going on this. And let's see where it takes us. All right, I have more interesting stuff in the machine. We'll see what spits out next week. Come back and join us. Until then, have a great week. Bye-bye now.